The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Welcome, everyone, to the room with the strongest winds. This talk is titled Living Liberation and will be presented by Julian S. Julian is a computer science student who enjoys being part of the free software communities. Currently, he is studying Haskell, OCaml, SML, and some type theory. Without further ado, here's Julian on Living Liberation.
Thank you, Patrick. So as was mentioned, my talk is about federated as networks. So yeah, so let's get, so before I start, sort of a disclaimer, this is not a technical talk. I won't be going into the technical details because I don't know them myself. I'm just a user, so this talk will be from the perspective of the user. So I'll be just sort of be mentioning some of the federated networking options that are available today and how those can be used to lead our social lives online instead of going after proprietary unfederated networks. So yeah, so let's get into the real talk. So consider a scenario, a what if. Suppose there is a service or a service that you use on a daily basis and like one of these. Okay, yeah. And suppose all of a sudden one good morning and they're saying that we are making some changes in our usage policies and you have to agree to those usage policies if you are to continue using our service. So at this juncture, what would you do? You have two options, right? You either put up with it, you'll say, okay, I'm fine with whatever you do, just let me continue using this service. That's one option. So no matter what they do, you have to agree to them if you want to continue using them. So another option is to simply stop using that. But then you'll be missing out on the links that you made in that network, the people that you met there, and the data you generated, the data you wanted to keep. All these things you will be missing out on. So among these two, it doesn't look like we have much of a choice, right? I mean, it would be, if you are deep into using that network, it would be very difficult to leave that. So yeah. So consider IRC. So the chat in the IRC is happening on Libra. So yeah. So IRC is cool. It's a very nice thing for open source community to use. And there is no tracking, generally at least. And yeah, I wish software communities will refrain from using Discord and would prefer something else. IRC being one of them, but yeah, that's something else. So one problem with IRC though, despite all its coolness, is that it's centralized. So it's confined to one entity, one network. So users in one IRC network cannot interact with the users in some other IRC network. So consider this schematic diagram that I made. So there are two IRC networks. So those little circles represent users in those networks. So these users can interact, they can communicate among with other users as long as they are part of the same network. Suppose the user in network one wanted to talk to somebody in network two. Unfortunately, that won't be possible. That's at least in a general sense, it's not possible. This is the kind of trouble that plagued the open source community last year in 2021, when the Freenode IRC network made some changes that people were uncomfortable with, and a sort of an exodus to other IRC networks is what we saw afterwards, and a lot of people came to Libra instead. So that was a chaotic situation. So that such a situation could have been avoided if there was a way to make communication between users of different networks possible. So all the users need not be, in a way that all the users need not be on the same network to be able to communicate with each other. So this, and there should be some common protocols, some common previously agreed upon rules by which the different servers, different networks can communicate with each other. So what is wrong with the centralized things in the case of IRC? So the problem is that for all the good things, suppose the people managing a service are very nice people. They are being so accommodative. They're being nice to the community. They're listening to the community and making appropriate changes. Okay, all that is fine. Things will go, the user community will be happy. But at later point of time, the management can change, the people can change. We know many instances where some good communities started small, then they got a lot of users, and all of a sudden a big corporate, big tech company will buy it, and there goes everything. So that's not a good thing, right? So the problem with centralization is all the users are confined to the same network. So the managers of that network has monopoly. They have a global view of all the data of the users. And that is too much power. And the temptation to abuse this user data is not negligible. And often there is limited option to fork off if some problem happens and the community wishes to leave. They cannot leave, because if they leave, they no longer can use their network. So that's it. And this is a problem. So this is the problem that federated networks is trying to solve. So instead of having a one big network where all the users have to be in order to be able to communicate with each other, we have a group of independent servers, like small servers, and each can be considered as a small communities, and they communicate with each other using some standard set of protocols, some previously agreed upon common rules. So in such a situation, it's a decentralized way. So it's like a microkernel. It's not monolithic, where everybody has to be in the same place. We can be distributed. So because of this distributed nature, we could say that the network is more robust. It can recover faster, because if any problem happens to one server, the other servers will keep the network operational, and only the affected server has to be remedied. That's federation. So I made a very informal comparison of federated and federated networks here. So I mainly meant a proprietary unfederated networks here, but there are also unfederated free networks. But yeah, so in the case of federated networks, it's distributed. So there is no one person, one entity which can control the whole network. So no admin has total control, unlike in the case of federated networks. And there are small independent instances, small servers communicating with each other. instead of having a giant single network. Yeah, so there's no monopoly. And one thing I've noticed is that in the case of federated networks, they are usually made of free and open source software. So that makes it easier for us to self-host an instance of the network ourselves and do all the managing and be in total control of our own data. That is very much possible. And something that many people are uncomfortable with in case of proprietary unfederated networks like Twitter is that they ask for too much data of yourself. And of course, we all know the reason, because they need data to make money out of the users. As some people say, the users of such networks like Twitter and Facebook, they are the being used. They are not the users. So yeah. So how is federation achieved? How can we have federation? So as I mentioned earlier, federation is possible because of some protocols, some previously agreed upon rules by different independent servers follow when they're interacting with each other. And these protocols is what make federated networks possible. So there are many different protocols. In this slide, I have listed a few of them. Just a few of them. And among them, this one, ActivityPub, is of, it commands some attention because a couple of years back, it became an official World Wide Web Consortium recommendation for federated networks, something like that. So I think it would be great if all the networks supported ActivityPub, and if that was the case, even different kinds of, not just different incidents, even different kinds of networks would be able to interact with each other. I will speak a little more about that in later. So I made a sort of a schematic diagram describing to illustrate how federated networks works. And that small black dot represents the user. Suppose this user has a message to send to somebody on another server. This is a federated network, so the user will say, tell its server, that server in which this user is in, it will tell that server that, okay, I got a message to send. And this user's server will sort of make this message available for other servers to use. And this server will sort of take the message from this user's server and give it off to its own users so that the users in the servers on the right can subscribe, can follow the messages of the single user on the left. It's a very vague overall abstract idea, but I hope you got the picture. So now in this section, I will mention a few software which can be used to build federated networks for social networking, which can be used to make your social lives in the internet more free. So you'll be in control of your own data, stuff like that. One of them, so first we see Mastodon. Mastodon is a federated network, which is sort of like Twitter. These instances of Mastodon usually have a character count limit for the messages. And there are many clients which can be accessed from the desktop, from the browser. Desktop client, from a web browser client, from phone like Android, iOS, or even from the terminal. That should make people who prefer using terminals quite happy, I think. So all this, these different clients are possible because it makes an open API. For stuff like Twitter and Discord and all, they are not happy with unofficial clients. Because they want more control over their own network, because that's how they generate revenue, by using its users. These federated networks like Mastodon, they are free and open source, so This has led to many variations. In the case of Mastodon, we have Blitzhawk and Hometown, among many others. So Hometown is a Mastodon, but without federation, for people who want to stick to home, and hence the name Hometown, I guess. Yeah, that's it. So here I have I got a screenshot of Mastodon, how to just to give a feel of how Mastodon might look like. This is the one way of having Mastodon in its default interface as a web client. So we have an area where we can post messages in that white rectangle on the left. And in the middle, we'll see the messages. And on the right, we can choose between the kind of messages that we see. We have in home, we'll be seeing the messages of people that we follow and the notification. Of course, you get notifications. And if you click on a local, we'll get the message that's happening on your own instance of Mastodon. And in the case of federated, we will get messages from the entire federation. And that mean not just Mastodon, other stuff as well. And you can have direct messages. Okay, that's it. So there are many similar software available for that can facilitate building of networks like Mastodon. And these are just a few of them. And there are many others. And most of them support ActivityPub. So that makes it possible for even different kinds of software, as I mentioned earlier, to communicate with each other. So for example, a user of both Friendica and Mastodon support ActivityPub. So Friendica users can interact with people not just of other Friendica instances, but even that of Mastodon or Miski or GNA Social or Tlaroma. So because all of them support a common protocol. So unfortunately, I don't think Diaspora has got ActivityPub support yet, but it can still communicate with other Diaspora instances. So as another example, I have got another screenshot of, this is how GNU Social will look like. I got the screenshot from the internet. So the interface is in Swedish, I think. So as we saw in the case of the Mastodon screenshot, we have a box in the top for typing a message. And below that, you see the messages that other people have made. And there are ways to message people, view the profile and stuff like that. Yeah, it's quite intuitive enough, I guess. Another kind of, there's something called Pixel Thread. Pixel Thread is like Mastodon, except that the focus is on images. So you can think of it like as a federated open source form of Instagram. So you can share your images and follow people sharing images. So good thing about PixelThread is that it too supports ActivityPub protocol. So you can follow somebody sharing photos on PixelThread from your Mastodon instance or your Gmail social instance, so wherever you are. So that's the beauty of federation. So yeah. So I hope at least some of us would ask you to check out PixelThread and move away from proprietary unfederated services like Instagram and check out PixelThread. And so of course that comes at a price. You cannot just move to another service because all the other, if all your followers are in another instance like Instagram, so it's, despite all of us knowing that services like Instagram tend to abuse our data and to make money out of tracking us, people still stay there because all the people that they know is there. I think this is what they call as the network effect. But yeah, but if all these people were in a federated network like PixelThread, you don't have to be part of PixelThread. You can be part of a master instance and can still keep track with the messages of people that you follow on PixelThread as well. So that's the beauty of federation. So the proprietary walled gardens like Instagram will never support federation, because that would mean they will lose control over the user data, because they can have the user data only if they are part of their of part of a server that they manage. So they don't want other people people to be in other servers and still using their service. That's why I guess that's the reason why they do not like unofficial client software as well. So yeah, let's go. So this is a screenshot of Pixelfed that its creator themselves have posted. So yeah, you can you have a like button, you have comment section, you have stuff like that. Yeah. So there is blogging. So you write a lot, one of the ways, there are many ways, I will mention another one of them later, but one of the ways to blog in a federated manner are these software. So there is Write Freely, and if you are a WordPress user, you can have, there is a plugin called that the ActivityPub plugin, which can be used to support activity and thereby federation and the people in other instances of networks that support ActivityPub will also be able to follow what you post in your WordPress blog. And then there is also Plume, but I think development has slowed down in the case of Plume, but Write Freely seems to be quite active. So in the case of what I mean by blogging federated is that you can put up your blog post, you can post it in an instance of one of these software, and that's it. And the people who follow you, they can get notified, okay, a new thing has come. You have posted something new, and they can read it without leaving their instance. They can see it. So they don't have to be on your server, on your instance of whatever software that they use. Because of the federated manner, the messages that you send, no matter what kind of software or tool that you're using, they can read it now all the same. So you're not asking them to come to you. So they can take it from you. There's no problem. They don't have to come to you to read what you post. So now we move on to some software that supports multimedia software. Sharing multimedia content. So I think one of the prominent examples of sharing multimedia content online in a federated manner is PeerTube. PeerTube is something like YouTube, but with federation support. And recently they have added, come out with a new version of PeerTube, which can even have, which can be used to do live streams. That's a big improvement. That's a good news for federated in the world of federated networks. So in the case of PeerTube, is that like a, I guess this is becoming something like a template, but in the case of PeerTube, and the different instances of PeerTube can have their own library, like their own catalog of videos that they have. And each instance can access all this catalog and access videos and view them. So that it's like a shared video catalog. It's like a big catalog of the videos available across all these instances that they federate with. Okay, of course, any instance of a network can choose not to federate with some instance. That's up to the administrator of that network that comes to the moderation work. Yeah, sorry. And PeerTube also supports, and this is a feature that can be turned off here. It also support to improve the quality of the video streams. It also supports peer-to-peer streaming. And how does that work is that if there are many people watching the same video, and these people can do some P2P, like in the case of torrents, and so to have improved video quality or something like that, right? Right. So, we have all these videos shared across all these instances of PeerTube. So how would we find all these videos? Because you cannot do a simple search, because you will, if you do a search on a PeerTube instance, you will normally receive only the videos that are available in that instance. But in recently, the peer two people came with the sepia search engine, which can be used to search all the videos in with all the peer two instances that they are in contact with. Like, yeah. So I would urge people to move away from YouTube or Vimeo or Dailymotion or whatever you use and check out peer two. There is the option to import the videos that you already have or that you already may have posted in services like YouTube by means of importing it. So if your video can be downloaded using YouTube DL or now YTDLP, you have the option of importing all those videos into your PeerTube profile. So moving from this unfederated with less liberty software services to federated software like PeerTube is quite simple. In the case of PeerTube, at least, sorry, yeah. Right. So the next slide doesn't seem to be showing up yet. Oh yeah. So this is a screenshot of a PeerTube instance, and you may notice that the name that shows up is different. It is showing us from a tool. This is the PeerTube instance that's being managed by the people who made a PeerTube. PeerTube was made by a company called Framasoft, so they named it Framatube. So once again, you see the beauty of open source at work, because you can modify it as you are liking. You can change whatever you like and still have it working. So it usually would have showed up here too, but it has been changed to Framatube. You can change the way how it looks. You can change whatever you like and still make it work. Okay, yeah. So another option to share multimedia content is Media Goblin. Media Goblin is a GNU project which can be used to share or not just videos. You can share audio, you can share images, you can share books, you can share presentations. And in case you already don't know, but the LibrePlanet videos are usually posted in a Media Goblin instance. So you can watch previous year's LibrePlanet videos in a Media Goblin instance. It works quite well. I tried it even yesterday. It works very well. I don't know. I seriously don't know why more people are not using it, but I hope people will check it out. But one problem with Media Goblin is that as of now, I don't think it has a federation support. I mean, activity pub support. Yeah. So another federated software that you can make use of to have a federated networks is FunkWhale. FunkWhale can be used. It's like the PeerTube for audio. You can share. Not videos, you can share audio content. You can share and listen to audio content in a federated manner. So there can be so many instances of that running FunkWhale, and you can share audio content among people of all these instances. So in the case of FunkWhale, each instance is called a pod. So there are different pods which federate together to make the overall big network. So it is, you can sort of think like the federated version of SoundCloud. So you can have private audio libraries, you can have public audio libraries, you can do podcasts, you can listen to podcasts, you can make podcasts, you can share audio content, you can discover new artists. And yeah, FunkWhale sounds cool compared to other options. So there is even more, but due to lack of time, I'm not mentioning them in detail. There is Omcast. The logo is the butterfly-like thing. This logo. So Omcast is a tool which can be used to do live streaming complete with a chatting system and stuff like that. And it's quite cool. And recently it acquired, I think in last January, it acquired support for ActivityPub. So you can follow Omcast instances doing live streams with any instance that supports ActivityPub. For instance, I follow an Omcast instance from Mastodon, from Miski, from Pleroma, from Friendica, and you'll be notified whenever they do a live stream. So that's cool, right? And there is Nextcloud and also an OnCloud, which is you can think of it as a Google Drive, which is open source and federated. So it's in Nextcloud, you can have spreadsheets, you can have text documents, you can store media files, and Nextcloud is a suite. I mean, a lot of tools are included in it. Check it out. I think you'll like it. But yeah. So another thing is Mobilizon. Mobilizon is quite new. I mean, not that new. Maybe around 2 years old. It's like an open source federated version of Meetup.com or FP Events. I haven't used FP Events, but I guess that's how it works. So you can, with Mobilizon, you can organize and find events that are happening, and all with the power of federation. So you can have multiple different, again, I'm saying this over and over again, but multiple different instances running Mobilizon, and each of them have maybe having independently can have events registered with them, and this can be shared across the entire federation. And it doesn't have to be a Mobilizon instance. It could be a Frentica instance or a GNU social instance, but it will still be the same. So Mobilizon supports ActivityPub, and it does. And Mobilizon was made by the same group of the same company which made Peer2. But the good thing is that they gave it off as a free software, which is quite cool, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Yeah. A similar software for the same purpose is GetTogether, but it supports federation. I mean, it's federation is an aim. I don't know if it's supported yet, but it still lacks ActivityPub support as far as I know. Right, and then something else is Bookworm. Bookworm is a federated form of, you can think of it as a federated form of Goodreads, which is now presently owned by Amazon. You can share book reviews, you can set targets for yourself, which books you want to read, and you can get recommendations from the community, not by algorithms, about what books you would like to read next. You can keep track of your reading history, and all with this power of federation and ActivityPub. You can follow people on Bookworm from other instances and other kinds of networks as well. So if you are a voracious reader or somebody with an interest in reading a lot of books, I recommend you check out Bookworm, if you haven't already, that is. Yeah. And then there are chatting software. Let me just check the time. Yeah. So there are chatting software with support federation. So no need of going to WhatsApp. Although, there are drawbacks, but it will a bit when a lot of people are looking into it, I think we can get over it. But yeah, so Matrix is a tool which supports federation. I mean, federation among its own instances, and with the help of something called bridges, it can talk to other kinds of networks as well. For instance, Matrix supports a large variety of bridges. It can be used to chat with an IRC network, or with a Gitter network, and I saw in their website that they have bridges with WhatsApp and Telegram. I don't know anybody who uses it, but I was surprised to know that Matrix supports the bridges to WhatsApp and all. But yeah, so Matrix has end-to-end encryption support for private messages. And quite notably, it was used quite successfully in the FOSDEM conference and the Seattle GNU Linux users group conference. And FOSDEM for the last 2 years, and CGL at least for the last, at least in the previous instance. They made use of a relatively new feature of Matrix called Spaces to organize the channels in the Matrix into a hierarchy, so that people attending the conference can navigate and find the channels more easily. I guess most people in this conference must already be aware of Matrix, and some of you may be connected to the IRC using Matrix as well. But yeah. So then there is XMPP. XMPP is another form of a way of a set of tools for software for doing chatting in a federated way. There is no central server. And I was surprised to know that WhatsApp is essentially a form of XMPP, which they have managed to modify in a way that makes federation impossible. That's suggestive, yeah. So yeah, and so XMPP, like in the case of matrices, supports bridging to other networks, other kinds of networks. For XMPP, matrix bridges are there. So in the case of XMPP, in the XMPP side of the world, these bridges, the equivalent of matrix bridges are transports. So yeah, so how do the bridges work? So this is something like this. So this is, I meant this to represent a bridge. Forgive me, if it doesn't look like a bridge, I got it from the internet, but yeah. So with the bridging, a matrix instance can communicate with a person in an XMPP network or an IRC user or a Gitter user. This is the logo of a network or software called Gitter, which was acquired by it seemed to have been acquired by the Matrix people behind Matrix, and then the Matrix and Gitter have now a close collaboration now. Yeah. Right. So what if you cannot actually let go of the unfederated world like Twitter? Well, I wouldn't, I don't think it's a good idea to encourage the use of ways to keep in touch with the unfederated world, proprietary walled gardens like Twitter. But there are ways to, stay on the unfederated world but still have contact with the federated world by means of using cross-posters, where you can post to, if there is a Twitter Mastodon cross-poster, you can post to both Twitter and Mastodon at the same time by making use of a third-party software. And there are bridges, of course. I don't know how well that would work in the case of Twitter and all, but I guess it is theoretically, at least, it is a possibility. But I have a request. Some people who makes use of cross-posters, for example, if it is a Twitter Mastodon cross-poster, they will reply to the comments in the Twitter, but not in Mastodon, not in the federated world. That's not nice, right? If you're doing cross-posting, make sure that you listen to the reactions in the Fediverse side and the unfederated side, if that's what you choose. So again, this is a choice that you wouldn't find in the in proprietary world. So what can we expect in the future? So yeah, let me just say. So it would be great to have a source forges, a code forges which support federation. So for example, Git was meant to support decentralization, but services like GitHub has made it into a centralized thing. And many people who are new to open source software development often even confuse GitHub to be the same thing as Git. That's terrible, right? Yeah. So it would be great to have a federated kind of GitHub where people can open issues or do pull requests from different instances, but still be part of the same project. That could be great. So there is something called SourceHut, which I don't think supports federation, but it uses emails allows emails to open issues and give patches for merging and all. That comes close, but not quite. There are people working to have federated code forges, but I think progress has been less fast than ideal. I think the people there could use help in formulating the protocols and coming to a consensus and come up with something like activity for code forges. If any of you can help, it will be a great service to the community if you can do something to help to get that done. A federated GitHub sounds cool. It would be great if it can be done. It can be done, of course. I hope it will come to do it become a reality in the near future. Right. Yeah. And one thing is that this code for just it should ideally work without JavaScript, because JavaScript often tend to be tracking material. I mean, many people don't trust JavaScript these days because of that. So in the case of Sourcers and Git, I saw that the basic functionality seemed to be okay without JavaScript. I could do whatever I want with the JavaScript turned off, but not in the case of GitLab and GitHub. It was not the same. Yeah. So as I mentioned before, this the federated networking software are being developed, and many of these projects could use help. People who has the knowledge and capacity to do so, I think it would be great if the people can help them out. So ActivityPub support is something software have been lacking. For example, in Media Goblin, I think there is no activity support as of yet, although work is underway. Then in the case of Sulip, which is a chatting software, we do not yet have federated, but it would be great if we could have federation. And Flocking Bird aims to, it's not a reality yet, it aims to be a federated form of LinkedIn. I do not know how exactly it would work out, but it would be great to have something which is not a walled garden, something like email, where we do not have to be in the same email service provider to be sending mails. For example, we can send email to a Yahoo mail user from Gmail. So email is something, is a form of federation, yeah. And like Bookworm, like the Bookworm that we saw for sending book reviews, it would be great to have a federated free software, open source form of IMDb. I think many people have been requesting it. I saw in Mastodon, a user named Fetty Follows have been saying that many people were asking for it, but I don't think it's there yet. If anybody can make it, it would be great. So that's it. I will just wrap it up. So after all this, let's not forget the old things. RSS and atom feeds are great for federation. Don't lose it. Use it for reading news, for reading blog posts or whatever. Use it. And there are newer feed formats like JSON feed and TPW text, but whatever you use, don't lose it. And email would also be great with mailing list and all. I mean, those are still prominent. I think it's better to keep them alive. So yeah. So that is pretty much it. These are some of the benefits. I don't have time, so I will just skip them over. So we have less chance of censorship. And privacy is a better chance of better privacy if you're using federated open source projects, open source social networking tools. And of course, the instance that you use is as good as the admin. So choose your instance wisely after careful deliberation. You can even self-host and to have more direct control of your data. So that's it pretty much. So thank you. So if you got any questions, I will try to answer them.
Julian, thanks so much for the talk. So much excitement in chat. It's great to see everyone communicate it and talk in the language. It's a lot of exciting things. There's an explicit question by our LP attendee that asks about ActivityPub. So that handles intercommunication between services at session/presentation layer. But how do these services ensure that they're speaking the same language at the application semantic layer? meaning like, how does a bookworm define a book? I'll just finish the question and we'll get to the answer.
Sure, I'm not aware. I mean, I don't know the details, as I said earlier. I'm just a user, but I think ActivityPub is just a it's not exactly that deep. It's simpler. I think it's quite way more simpler. It's more like, it's on a broader sense, it's more like a format to send messages. It doesn't go into that deep level. I think that's the idea that I have. Yeah.
No, I understand. Absolutely. Yeah. And expanding on that a little bit, how do you find out about these offers? There's a few of them that I actually wasn't aware of, FunkyWell and things like that. That's
initially it was just, I just did some searching for the first one I came across was Mastodon. Then I went on searching about it. Then I found Peer2. I was very excited. I wanted to get rid of YouTube. But then there is one great resource where you can find out about all this is an account in, it's instant is in Mastodon, I think, but it's a user, a profile called Fetty Follows. They post a lot about this, and I found about Bookworm from them.
Lovely. I'll see if I can get a link for that in chat shortly.
Yeah.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about, we have about a minute left here, but if you have a brief summary on how you got started in looking into the Federation side of things, a bit of a story that sparked that interest in you? Or...
What? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. As we were wrapping up the last minute here, what was it like starting out with the Federation side of things? What got you into that specifically?
Are you asking how the Federation started?
Yeah, absolutely. How did you get into that?
Oh, me? Okay, I don't really know. I somehow came across Mastodon. I don't really remember how I got into Mastodon. Then it was just took off from there. But it's a great way. I mean, we don't have to sell our soul to use a service to be social networking. Live liberated. Yeah. Make your online life liberated. Don't sell your soul to Facebook and Twitter. Come to open source. That should be cool. That got me excited.
Thank you so much, Julian. Great talk today.
Thank you, Patrick. Yeah.